Thanks for listening to the Revelation Lecture Podcast, an audio service of the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary Library. For more, please visit www.wls.wells.net. Lecture 6, Part B.
All right, then Chapter 13 gives us the vision of the two beasts, the beast from the sea and the beast from the earth. Now, verse 13, the first verse of chapter 13 says, "And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea," in the NIV. If you have the King James, you have, "And I stood on the shore of the sea." Now, the word dragon is not in the text, but in the Greek manuscripts, and not all the manuscripts are the same, some manuscripts have that reading, and other manuscripts have this reading. All you have different is one letter. This is "he stood," and this is "I stood." Now, some of the manuscripts say "he stood on the shore of the sea," and some say "I stood on the shore of the sea." And they're about evenly divided, so it's hard to tell which is right, although Most scholars agree that it should be "he stood on the shore of the sea," and then the antecedent of "he" will be the dragon. And that's how you get that translation that you have in the NIV. "And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea." And now you have the second vision there. "And I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, very much like the dragon who has 7 heads and 10 horns. But he has 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like those of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worshipped the beast and asked, 'Who is like the beast? Who can make war against him?'" Now this is obviously a reference to a vision that we have in the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 7. Would you open your Bibles to that? Daniel chapter 7, where we have a vision that is interpreted by God himself through the prophet Daniel. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea." Remind you of anything? The four winds of heaven? That's Revelation chapter 6, right? Chapter 7, rather. "And they were churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea." So here's another beast that comes out of the sea, just as in chapter 13. Now look at the description of the four beasts. "The first beast was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that, I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had 4 wings like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. Very, very similar to this beast that you see here. There is four different beasts. One is like a lion and a bear and a leopard. And the other is like a lion, one is like a bear, and one is like a leopard. This beast has the characteristics of all of these three. And it is a terrible beast like the fourth beast that Daniel saw. Now, in Daniel's prophecy, it is very clear that these four beasts are the four great world empires that often made life miserable for God's people in the Old Testament. See, the first beast is the Babylonian Empire. The second beast is the Persian, the Medo-Persian Empire. The third beast is the Empire of Alexander the Great. And the fourth beast is the Roman Empire. And all of those empires, in one to one extent or another, were enemies of God's people. The Persians at first favored the children of Israel, but later on the Persians almost wiped the Jews off the face of the earth. In the story of Esther, the story of Esther shows us how the Persians were prevented from destroying the Jews completely. Now, these in the Old Testament then, these beasts that Daniel spoke of were civil governments which were enemies of God's people. Those beasts came out of the sea too. Now, when the New Testament then uses the same figures, obviously, that are used in the Old Testament, we are certainly justified in coming to the conclusion that what we have described for us here is civil government in its anti-Christian aspect. Every government, every civil government, even the best of them, in some ways is an enemy of the Christian church. We say, well, our government permits us religious freedom. And nevertheless, there are many things that our government does that favors the cause of the devil. Some of you, I'm sure, followed in the newspaper the story of that that lawsuit in California, which was brought by Kelly Seagraves. I mentioned that once before. In which he sued for the right of his children also to learn that the world did not necessarily come by evolution, but that it might have come by creation. Now, he was not asking that the book of Genesis be taught. All he was asking the government favors, no question about it, that the government of the United States favors the evolutionistic point of view. And the newspapers of our country favor the evolutionistic point of view. The universities of our country would not hire a scientist, for example, who taught, who denied the doctrine of evolution. He simply wouldn't get a job if he would do that ahead of time. They sometimes get in, and then they don't make their point so very obvious to the people who hire them. But if you would ahead of time tell a university that you would like a job at teaching biology and tell them that you do not believe in the doctrine of evolution, you would simply not be hired. And those universities are supported by government funds. Those professors are paid by your taxes. Their salaries are paid with your taxes. And there is nothing we can do about it. We simply have to suffer this. And the religion of America, there is a religion taught in the public schools of our country, which is the religion of secular humanism. The atheistic view is favored in our schools, at least practical atheism. And the government pays the salaries of all those people who are destroying the scriptures. When I was still at the teaching at the high school here in the college, when it was Milwaukee Lutheran Teachers College, then we had a young instructor on the high school faculty who had gone to the University of Wisconsin in La Crosse. And in one of his classes, he said there was a girl in biology class. She got up and she said that she believed in creation. She didn't believe in evolution. And he said the professor just ridiculed her no end, just held her up as a laughingstock for the rest of the class, being so stupid as to believe that kind of thing. And finally, he got up and he said to that professor, and he was just a student too, he said, look, you have no right to insult that girl this way. She has a right to her opinion, just as you have a right to yours. And you have absolutely no right to hold her up to ridicule before the class. And he was able to do that and get by with it. But if there hadn't been such a young man in that class, that girl simply would have been without any defender of any kind and would have been persecuted, really, for her faith. And that professor is paid by your tax money. Now, and that's the United States government, a government which is certainly one of the best governments in the whole world. Just think of Russia, for example, what Russia does to the church. Think of what East Germany does to the church. Think of what the government of Poland does to the church, and so on. These are all governments that, to, in one degree or another, make the life of the church miserable. For example, in East Germany, if you are confirmed in the church, you almost automatically lose your right to attend the university. One of the pastors of the Free Church in Germany in Halle has a daughter who is highly talented as a musician, very, very fine organist. And she wanted to go to the university to study music. And she was simply told there was no place for her. And the only reason there was no place for her was because she's a Christian. Her two brothers are able to get a higher education because they are studying for the ministry. But that girl has no chance of getting a university training just because she's a Christian. And that's a common practice. Christians are always at the bottom of the list. The only time a Christian gets into the university is if there aren't any other applicants ahead of him. Then he may get a chance to go. Now, that was the land, the land where Luther grew up. See, Wittenberg is just not too many miles from Halle. And there, in that same country where Luther carried on the Lutheran Reformation, today, the Christian church simply doesn't have much of a chance to carry out its work. Now, this beast from the sea, then, is obviously civil government viewed as an enemy of God, then. And now the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority 42 months. Again, the same period of time. See, here you're 3.5 years again. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name in his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. Well, see, there you have it identified. These are the authorities over all the nations of the world, over all the peoples of the world. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain. And now that last phrase, from the creation of the world, belongs either to the phrase, the Lamb that was slain, or it belongs written in the book of life from the creation of the world. And the alternate translation that you have at the bottom of the page points that out. And as I said before in answer to that question that was asked, when you get to this, when we get to that particular passage, I'll call your attention to it again. There you have the same phrase. Is the book of life written from the foundation of the world without the phrase of the Lamb slain, of the Lamb that was slain. So that's why I think it probably belongs together with the book of life written from the foundation of the world. But what book is that, by the way? Well, that's a reference to the doctrine of election. See? From eternity, God chose us to be his own. And the book of Revelation describes that as God writing our names in his book. It's obvious that those whose names are written in the book are the people who don't worship the beast, who recognize the beast as an enemy, and that obviously is the Christians. And their names have been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, even as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, to the praise of the glory of his name, and so on, to praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So, from the foundation of the world, God has chosen us to be his own, says St. Paul. John talks about a book, the book of life, in which are written the names of all those people who belong to God. who do not worship at the shrine of the beast. But he who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. If the civil government will throw Christians into prison, civil government will kill Christians, and there is nothing we can do to keep them from doing that during the 42 months. When the 42 months are over, then civil government will lose its authority over God's people completely. We will look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So the beast from the sea, then, is civil government, all the civil governments of this world in their anti-Christian aspect.